never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Welcome to the latest Skinon podcast from my front room. I'm joined today by Jason Coyle and Philip Bagman.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're going to kick off with probably with a discussion of what we watched this week, being that we were all three of us at the IFI Open Day.
Woo!
Sunday.
Yes, we were.
That was me whooping my enthusiasm there.
It was fine whooping, I have to say.
Thank you. We like a good whoop.
We do indeed.
Anyway.
You guys went to see a different film than me for the first one. So, what did you go see?
We went to see Piccadilly. Fine anime Wong picture from 1929. Yes, indeed. And that was actually the first time that I had watched a silent film in complete silence. No musical accompaniment.
That would be the same for me, I think.
Yeah.
It's an interesting experience.
An enjoyable one, actually.
Yes.
Despite that guy with the tin foil who was halfway down the auditorium.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor fella.
You realise how much noise people make, and it's covered by blockbuster music and the surround sound in the cinema when it's completely quiet.
You can get away with a lot.
Yes, you can.
Well, during any average Michael Bay movie, you could probably do some masonry work and nobody would notice.
True.
Also, I'd be more concentrated on the masonry work. Just on the screen, it's so dull.
I'm not at all DIY inclined, but I would prefer any piece of masonry to almost any Michael Bay film.
Yeah. And well, not unsurprising reaction from us, there.
Mm.
Is that like the pain and gain of the whole thing? Yeah
I would guess so.
I went to see a sports-based drama inspired by true events called Believe, set in Manchester in 1984, where it has legendary Manchester United manager Sir Matt Busby managing a under-12, 7-year-old team from a fairly rough part of Manchester. So,
let me guess, is it life-affirming and he inspires them to greatness?
Basically, yes. Yes, it is. It is every possible cliché.
I wish Brian Glover was alive. He would have turned up in this somewhere.
The film's called Believe and has Brian Cox and Natasha McElhone in it. So
unbelievable, Jeff!
No.
Please stop.
But it's it's just dreadful. It's just
don't sit in the festival. No, really, tell us what you think.
It was just wistful nonsense. It basically he was coaching this team because he was haunted by the ghosts of the Munich air disaster in 1958.
Wow, which seems how tasteless.
Yeah. Wouldn't you think he'd get over it by now?
Well, that's
sorry.
10 years after those events, he led Manchester United to European Cup glory. And in the interim years, he had a number of successful championship-winning teams. So it's not that he needed the vindication of this young team winning. He had won a lot by rebuilding Manchester United out of the ashes of the Munich era.
And did they conveniently just ignore
That entire period of time was just ignored. Yeah.
Just put this over here for a minute.
Yes, that
sounds awful.
Rather than introduce the character, it starts off with a news report about him that he's watching, and then his wife comes in and goes, "Is there anything on TV?" And she goes, "No, just the same old rubbish, something about me."
Wow, they almost make him sound egotistical. That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm glad I missed that one.
He's got the comedy sidekick as well as Joe.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, who fancies a flutter on the horses. Basically, it's like a bad made-for-TV movie. And the IFI showed it as part of their sort of educating youth in film thing. And I mean, for kids, it's entertaining enough, but they should be seeing better films to educate them on how better films are made.
You should have saw Piccadilly then. You would have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, I kind of wish I did. But then, being a Manchester United fan, I had to go to the one.
Well, that is your cross the bear,
exactly. So then all three of us. No, I went to Purple Rose of Cairo and you two went off.
We went wandering.
Yes, we went to wandering.
So, classic Woody Allen. And Philip has watched it again recently.
I did.
Himself.
Did I do that intentionally? Who knows? But, it is. It's a fun, really fun little film with brilliant performances from Mia Farrow and Jeff Daniels. Was just so innocently likable as this character comes off a movie screen.
He's rafish,
very, very rafish.
Yeah. he's got this, because he's essentially pretending to be one of the classic 1930s Hollywood actors, and he does have that charm and allure.
Oh, he does, yes. It's a fine piece of casting.
Mm. It's great, very enjoyable film. I wouldn't say it's quite up there with his best, but as B-plus grade Woody Allen, it's fine.
It's
by
a
me.
Different type of film for very, Woody Allen, so it's nice to see in his canon, you know.
Mm, that absolutely. He has and also, Danny Aiello.
Yeah, no argument here.
Nope. So then all three of us went to see the 35mm print of The Assassination of Jesse James.
I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, that soundtrack. Oh, good lord. Everything about that film is just extraordinary.
It really is. It's bold in its scripting, it's bold in its scope, it's remarkable, absolutely remarkable.
Performances across the board are just superb.
Mm. Casey Affleck is. He walks a fine line between creepy and just annoying. But that's exactly what he has to be.
And then becomes sadder and sadder as the film goes on.
Everybody does, though.
Yeah, they do.
Brad Pitt is just so... He seems so kind of cocksure at the start, but as time goes on, this paranoia sets in. It's a
great character story.
Unbelievably so. And it's an unashamed adaptation of a novel in that it lives narration, mood, so much wholesale from the book.
Yeah, and then adds Roger Deakins' cinematography on top to...
And some seriously confident direction.
Yeah. Seriously. It's great.
Yeah, and it's great seeing the screen yet again. It's just... It's... Yeah, I mean, we could spend the whole podcast talking about it, really, but it's wonderful.
It really is.
He's made three films now at this stage, Andrew Dominik, and all of them are good.
They are.
Yeah,
but that one is far and away
his best. That's his masterpiece. Yeah. Kill Them Softly is still spectacularly underrated. It's great.
Mm.
Chopper is a great laugh and really well made. And as a fun debut, as you will see. So, yeah, he's three for three. And I wait, they're talking about his version of Blonde, the Joyce Carol Oates book on Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh, with, yes. Jessica Chastain,
the lead role. That's already on my list of whatever year comes out, top film. I cannot wait.
That is going to be something special. If he gets around to making it,
yes.
Hopefully.
We cannot hope. And watch it not be successful like everything else is made. What is wrong with people?
I ask myself that every day.
So then after that, we were all treated to the Irish premiere of Richard Linklater's new film, Boyhood, the 12-year-long study of a child growing up.
Mm.
Scripture narrative, but... they shot it with a kid over 12 years and followed his progression through the film. So, as a technical piece, that's unparalleled.
As an experiment, it really is quite something to behold. I mean, the idea of watching this same child grow up it does feel like something special, at least at the start, the conceit of it. And as it goes on, you just realise this kid, he is growing older, and there is something really special about that. And the child, Ella Coltrane, remarkable performance.
That was a great performance.
Wonderfully naturalistic.
Yeah, and crucially, it feels like it's not a scripted character all the way through. It feels like you're watching him grow, as opposed to the character grow. He inhabits it completely.
And all of us having lived through the teenage years can find something relatable in what his character is going through throughout different points
Sure, I mean, there's something for everyone there.
It also helps he's got some excellent support as his divorcee parents. You have Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette, both in fine form.
Yeah.
And Lorelei Linklater, the director's daughter, as his older sister.
Yeah, she's excellent. Terrific. And in some ways as much a part of it.
It very much so. I mean, I think
which is not really mentioned a lot.
The title is a bit of a misnomer.
Yeah, it is.
It's not all
childhood, really, could it?
It could.
Kidhood.
But it certainly, and she's excellent and provides remarkable support that role.
Now, all that said, it's getting a lot of raves, but are they warranted?
It's a very good film.
I like it.
It's not a masterpiece.
It's not Linklater's best. No.
But it is, as a technical achievement, it is unparalleled. So it has that going for it, and that colours and skews opinion towards it.
I agree. I think that's exactly what's happening. I think there's a lot of people mix up admiration for it and in its ability as a film as opposed to its technical ability, which is two different things. It's like, it doesn't make a great film. For me, no. But it's a very interesting film and very fascinating film.
It is. I mean, we'll probably talk about it in a bit more detail when it comes out in July. But just most of the problems do lie with the script and the idea that, and just some of these episodes, we've seen them before.
And then before, and before.
Yeah, but there's certain very cliched characters in it. The her second husband in particular.
Mm.
I mean, they're all torn out of
scriptwriting 101,
aren't they? Yeah, I mean, they're stock figures that we've seen. And maybe because of the way it's filmed every 12 years and the time constraints and trying to get the script together, maybe they couldn't attempt it anymore.
You're painting with broad strokes.
But if that's the case, then surely it should be reviewed as such, as opposed to saying masterpiece.
Yeah.
Well, no, we'll see. I mean, the reviews over here haven't really started to come out yet.
No.
They're mostly American reviews I've read so far.
Yeah, from Sundance primarily. Yeah. So
we'll see. I would be surprised if there's as many raves over here.
It's just, I mean, in terms of Linklater's achievements, it's not quite up there with the Before trilogy.
Which I think is remarkable.
It really is.
And I would still, given the choice to go watch a film right now, I would pick Bernie over Boyhood.
Wow. That's interesting.
Interesting.
But if you think about it as well, Dazed and Confused touches on a lot of this and probably does it better as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did like it, but in terms of, apart from watchability and themes and depth, I'd sooner watch the Before trilogy or A Scanner Darkly or Waking Life.
A Scanner Darkly is, that's a phenomenal look.
That is one of the most underrated films of the last decade.
Oh, I'd have to rewatch. Like, I don't know. I don't remember liking it that much.
I need to rewatch. There is an emotional depth to that film that many people forget. It's the most sci-fi film I can think of recent years.
And one of the very few Philip K. Dick novels not to be renamed.
Yeah. With that novel, Philip K. Dick wanted to do something specific, and Linklater nailed it. It's not about the future, the more futuristic elements of its setting. It's about the darker chasms of drug addiction.
And the rotoscoping is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's where he nails the technique down, whereas in Waking Life he's experimenting with it to very trippy effect. But that is, given some of the effects required, it was the best canvas for it, and I think it works really well.
I need to rewatch.
You probably will end up disagreeing with me. I'm in a minority of that film.
It's been a long while. I couldn't really recall.
I would take it another go. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So I would definitely recommend that people go see Boyhood because it is an absolutely fascinating film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, at 2 hours and 40 minutes, it's
too long.
A little dungeon.
Yeah, it is too long. And it suffers from Spielbergian tree ending syndrome.
Indeed. I can't disagree with that either.
It just kind of meanders towards and kind of gets lost.
There's two natural ending points before it reaches its end. And so it's very, very odd in that way.
Also known as Lord of the Rings syndrome.
That's 17 endings. That's just excessive.
But anyway, we'll
get into it in full.
We didn't?
We barely touched the surface.
It's true.
We'll get into it properly when it comes out.
You've done up a review for us, which will be online soon.
So, anyone else for anything else? Anyone else watch anything?
The World Cup, does that count as movies?
No, it does not. Although you, Niall, have really put yourself through the ringer with your film World Cup this week.
That was a bad decision. And then I went out yesterday and fell over and broke my arm. So that was
hence why we're recording in your front room.
Yes, and as a result, I'm incapable of writing right now. So that's problematic for the Film World Cup.
dear,
it's tricky.
Yeah, it does make it that a little bit.
You made plans, the fates laughed, and now Well, there you
maybe
are.
You weren't destined to write a film world film.
That's it. But I have seen some very interesting films, and I will discuss them in further length after it's all over.
Good. In terms of rewatches, we're recording this just the day after Bloomsday, and on Sunday I rewatched, thanks to the IFI, John Huston's The Dead, which is just beautiful.
It's a great film.
Melancholic.
Yeah.
So rich.
So funny.
So warm.
Yeah. Beautifully shot.
Yeah.
I mean, beautifully shot.
And the characters, even though that film is set 110 years ago, you know some of these types.
Yeah.
You really do.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, while time has moved on, Dublin and the characters of Dublin have not. You know, I mean, there are still. You go into any pub around this capital, and you will see people like lifted from the pages of Joyce.
True. It's a beautiful testament to this city.
Yeah,
and
one of Ireland's finest films.
Yes, absolutely. I kind of want to rewatch it again now, but another time.
You only rewatched it yesterday.
Yeah, but still. Anyway, okay. We move on.
We're going to stay on the Irish film angle as we transition into the news.
It's fine transitioning.
Yeah, there we go.
Lovely.
The Galway Film Fly, which is on next month, it's taking place from July 8th to 13th. And they announced yesterday who's up for their Bingham Ray New Talent Award. So there's five nominees. It's about rising talent in Irish filmmaking, and so they have nominated five people. Producer is Anne-Marie Naughton for The Canal, and then actor Mo Dunford for Patrick's Day, director Niall Heary for Gold, actress is Tara Brettnock for A Nightingale Falling, and then Dara Devenny for On Bruntness. So all five of these films are showing at the Galway Film Fla. On Bruntness is the closing film, with the others featuring throughout. So, Ivan Kavanagh's The Canal, which the producer, Anne-Marie Naughton, is nominated for, has been doing great business overseas. It's gotten a lot of distribution around Europe, and this is a chance for Irish audiences to actually see it. So
No, I think it sounds like a very interesting film. The reviews have been pretty sharp across the board. Mm-hmm. I really look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, so that should be a highlight of the flag. As well as Terry McMahon's Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the handful of people that actually really like Charlie Casanova in the country.
Yeah, that is a minority.
Small minority who really, really got into it.
Actually, in the Scannon crew, he's not. There's at least two others.
Oh, is there?
Really?
There's something about it that's interesting. Like, it's not perfect, but its ferocity is really interesting, and its anger is really interesting. And so Patrick's Day, I'd be definitely interested to see.
Yep. So Mo Dunford is up for that. Then Niall Heary's up for Gold, which is an interesting sounding film. I mean, his last one was Small Engine Repair, which I thought was very good.
I can't recall it. I do remember seeing it, but I don't remember a lot about it.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. I think I kind of liked it, but I don't think I remember being anything negative about it. It's been a few years. Mm.
So this one has it's a feel-good comedy. It's got Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, it's got Kerry Condon from Rome, and it's got David Wilmot in it. So,
is it just me, or does everything these days have to have somebody from Game of Thrones?
Well, Game of Thrones is pretty much every actor in Ireland.
See, that's all true. That's the thing. It's being that it's filmed in the north.
If you're not getting a gig in that, you're wasting.
I think I might have been in an episode of Game of Thrones once. I haven't been paid for it yet, but I'm sure I played some kind of goblin.
That would make sense.
Yes.
I don't watch it.
They don't exist in Westeros.
Yeah.
I could play a goblin anyway. Just like that.
I would like to know what that would look like in Game of Thrones. But anyway, we leave that alone.
So then there's also A Nightingale Falling, which, I mean, this film, it's scored by the Ulster Orchestra. So, I mean, that's...
Oh, okay.
That's just fantastic. I love that they've gone down that road. It's a historical drama, so it's set in the during the War of Independence in Ireland.
Okay.
And sees, you know, the stories of love and loss and all the rest set against the backdrop of the war. So, I mean, that's
all right.
Shot entirely in Offaly,
Sounds like sure. Nothing we haven't heard from before, so hopefully a bit of a new spin on said subject.
Hopefully it'll be awfully good.
Oh God, Philip, yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
So then last week we talked about it on Bruntness, which is the film that's going to close, the Celtic Noir Osquelga.
Yes, sounds very interesting. I'm really looking forward to that.
So yeah, so if you're in and about the vicinity of Galway at the start of next month, we suggest you head to the film flat.
Do it.
It is one of Ireland's premier film festivals, and it is really worth a visit. Other news on Irish film, and news of Cartoon Saloon's follow-up to their magnificent The Secret of Kells. Song of the Sea has gained distribution for the UK and Ireland. Studio Canal will be doing it here, so that means that Element will have it in Ireland. And Haute en Côte in France, broader distribution in Holland and Belgium and Luxembourg, and then they've also had deals for North America, South Korea, all the Balkan countries, Poland, Indonesia, and the Middle East.
Wow.
So,
good Lord, that's some fine distribution.
Yeah, it's incredibly rare for a non-American studio animation to sell before release in its original country. And so this is just a testament to how good The Secret of Kells was. Because, I mean, that film got an Academy Award nomination.
Sure.
And it's just beautiful to look at. And this has a very similar palette to it. This has a very similar look to it. And this is it's the tale of the last Selkie, a girl who can transform herself into a seal. And she has to go back to the sea to sing the Song of the Sea, the titular Song of the Sea, in order to save all of fairy kind being lost forever. So it's the same sort of setting as The Secret of Kells. So it's got that old Irish fairy tale.
Yeah, sure. Sounds interesting. I'd really like to go to Kells, so I'm up for that.
Hmm. So yeah, so we wish them all the best with that, and we look forward to seeing it when it's out later this year. The news that we have is from, well, it's a rumour, but it seems to be a fairly well substantiated rumour.
We don't deal in rumours. Out with it.
We're going to deal with this. Nikki Finke, when she relaunched her website after the whole debacle with Deadline.
Oh, God.
Dropped a metaphorical bomb on the DC universe, saying that the DC have plans for 7 films.
On this news, Jay is waiting for the literal bomb.
So we knew of 3 of these. So we knew the first one, which is Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice.
That title is unwieldy.
That is a dreadful title. But in May 2016, that is coming out. So we know that. That's Zack Snyder and basically all of the Justice League in minor roles, barred and main too. Then that will be followed up in July of 2016, so 2 months later, by Shazam.
Which is the movie about the app. That you hear music that becomes a superhero. That I'm looking forward to that.
I might watch that. I love that app.
It really is. And this is a story about a little kid who meets a wizard and then can say Shazam, Shazam, and turn into a superhero.
Of course.
That does sound like Kazam. I made that gag before, but it actually does sound like that Shaquille O'Neal movie. Really does.
I wonder where they got the idea for the Shaquille O'Neal movie from. It could have possibly been the comic book that's been out for 60 years.
Doesn't matter, it's still a pile of dreck. Anyway.
So the only good thing that we know about Shazam, or that's rumoured about Shazam, is that The Rock is up for the role of Black Adam. Black Adam is one of the most...
You say Black Adam?
What movie is this?
How awesome would that be?
I'm in.
I am so in.
But Black Adam is one of the best super villains in the DC universe, and so that would be good. Anything.
Yes, but we don't know who would play Shazam.
That's
an issue.
Do we know anything?
No, other than The Rock might.
Other than I don't want to see it.
We know very little about it at this particular moment in time. What we do know a little more about is the one after that, Christmas 2016. Again, so same year, 3 movies, 1 year.
Bloated.
Sandman, that is Joseph Gordon-Levitt producing, rumoured to be directing and starring as well, based on a David...
Is there nothing that man can't do?
Based on a David S. Goyer adaptation, so, of Neil Gaiman's novel, Neil Gaiman's book comic books. The Neil Gaiman comic book series of comics are fantastic. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
That is it's a good source, but David S.
Zack Snyder.
David S. Goyer worries me.
Yeah.
As he should.
Yeah, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt in JGL, we trust, you know.
Yes.
We don't really, but anyway, what's next?
After that, we have Justice League. So
since everybody just piled into a Avengers type movie.
Yeah, so Justice League basically made up Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Flash, Cyborg, Wonder Woman, and may or may not include the Martian Manhunter.
Why don't they just rename it, We're Not Threatened by Marvel, Honest?
Well, they seem to be if they're going this hard.
You think?
Following on from the Justice League 2 months later is Wonder Woman. Now, the issue that I see with this one is Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman, right? She's going to be Wonder Woman in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. She's going to be Wonder Woman in Justice League. So, and Wonder Woman in her own individual movie 2 months after the Justice League. So,
when is she going to find time to film all this?
Yeah. So that's basically three blockbusters in 14 months.
Well, she can do it. I mean, you can, like, they're, this looks, if this is to be believed, this looks like an absolute production line. I don't, will filming stop for the next 2 years? I mean, they can film sections upon sections of different films and all sorts.
Yeah.
I can see this just production line. This looks like, this whole thing looks like cut rate, Roger Corman-esque, kind of, churning them out without the wit.
And without the wit, crucially.
I would be worried if I was a DC fan.
There are two more coming in, yeah. Flash and the Green Lantern joining together on Christmas 2017. So that's again three movies in 2017. So Green Lantern spectacularly failed in his own standalone movie, but we assume he will be reintroduced in Justice League, if not before. Possibly he will be a different Green Lantern. So there are three Green Lanterns in the series. We've already seen Ryan Reynolds do the Hal Jordan, the first of them.
But, Green Lantern.
Yeah, but the second one is an interesting character.
The first two.
The second one is Jon Stewart. He's the one that we saw in Justice League Animated Series.
And I want him played by Jon Stewart.
He's black.
I don't care. This could be hilarious.
Yeah. I'd like to play into this.
What, you want to black up Jon Stewart?
Possibly not.
Yeah,
see, he could be the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude.
Yeah, so this.
But probably not.
But what it does allow is for a really good black character and a really good black actor to seize this role. So you imagine Chiwetel Ejiofor or someone of that character in.
I can't imagine Chiwetel Ejiofor signing on for something.
Anyway, the big checkbook he's put in his years.
True.
I wouldn't be, you know, we'd
look good in the poster. Captain Award nominee, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Sold him for the Shrek.
Yeah, but they don't need to put that in the poster. But Academy Award winner, Ben Affleck.
I'm sorry, he just does not look like a proper Batman to me.
Okay, let's go back to
last of the seven films that are going to come out in a 3-year period. Man of Steel 2. So this is confirmation then, or alleged confirmation, that this is not the sequel to Man of Steel.
Now, I have a problem with this. How does the Batman vs. Superman movie work if they're going to have a sequel?
Batman vs. Superman takes place after the events of Man of Steel, but is part of the wider universe. So in much the same way that Captain America 2 takes place after Captain America, the Avengers took place in between.
Right.
But the problem is, right, so here you've got seven DC films in the space of 3 years. You will have at least five Marvel films in this same time period.
And many Star Wars films.
And two Star Wars films in this time period as well. And three Pixar animations.
It's a myriad of other blockbusters.
Right, yeah. So we're going to be looking at a potential schedule where we will have a $100 million movie opening for more than 40 of the 52 weeks.
Oh, good God.
Wasn't that the T.S. Eliot poem? I have measured out my life in comic book movies.
But it did.
This is depressing the hell out of me.
No, the thing is, Spielberg and Lucas came under some criticism last year when they said that it's a bubble and it's going to burst.
This could be the bullet.
This is the bullet. This is what's going to burst it.
Fingers crossed.
This is madness.
It's a little bit rich from Spielberg.
No,
but anyway,
this is insert snack Zack Snyder gag here.
Yeah. This is Spartan. Maybe. Anyway, we'll wait.
Yeah. So other rumors around the Batman vs Superman Dawn of Justice have Jason Momoa, best known for playing Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones and Conan the Barbarian in the remake, is to sign on for Aquaman. Right, so Aquaman.
Yeah, he's the one nobody cares about, isn't he?
Aquaman has long been made fun of as the least useful of all superheroes.
I remember Jim Cameron's Aquaman in
Entourage.
Entourage.
Oh, that was hilarious. I say hire Adrian Grenier role.
No,
for the continuity.
Adrian Grenier can't act. So
ouch.
That's no real issue.
That's kind of the point of the show.
He's dreadful. As much as I enjoyed
watching played
Entourage,
he played a vain Hollywood star very well.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He is actually. Anyway, that is not particularly great show, but still, we move on.
Yeah. So Jason Momoa as Aquaman, so that's interesting.
That's politically
he can't diss the comic books, Jay.
I don't agree with that particular casting. I don't see how it works. He is a little too
big.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to fit the role quite the way that you would imagine him from the comics. I mean, this guy is a prince.
All right, as a
or king of Atlantis, you know, he's
a comic book fan. Who would you say should play this role?
I think it should be a little younger for a start, and it should. I thought that the guy who played Finnick O'Dare,
Sam Clay,
Coughlin, looked good with a trident, and I thought he could.
Look good with a trident?
For the love of God, I'm out. I'm out of all of this. I'm done.
It's very unlikely that Aquaman will get his own movie because
you reckon. There's enough of movies about him.
No, Aquaman versus Spider-Man.
Aquaman would have to. You would have to set at least half the film.
Set it in a bath. I know which one my money's on.
Yeah, you have to set at least half of that at sea. So, and there's complications around setting anything at sea.
Ask Jim Cameron.
We wait with bated breath for more news on Aquaman.
If Aquaman has been cast for Batman vs Superman Dawn of Justice, then we have a situation where we have Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Cyborg and Aquaman in the one film.
And it's essentially an original film, because it's not the sequel, clearly.
Yeah.
So you're lumbering on, shoehorning these characters into a film that's essentially you're establishing a certain thing.
Yeah, well, you have Superman in this world already, so you have to explain how Batman fits into it. You have to explain. So you have Alfred that comes along with him. You have to explain how Lex Luthor fits into it. And you have to then explain how Wonder Woman and Cyborg and Aquaman fit into it.
Not only do they have to explain, Zack Snyder has to explain.
It's a 2.5-hour origin story. It took him half an hour to make the start of Superman.
This actually smells. Just, oh god, it's so rubbish.
I'd like to quote a particular cinematic hero of all of ours. There must and shall be aspirin.
Oh dear goodness.
I'm out.
If
I was ever in.
Oh, no, you weren't.
No, not particularly not yet.
Anyway, on news of more interesting films.
Hurrah!
The Coen brothers scripted, Steven Spielberg directed, Tom Hanks starring Cold War thriller has been given a release date for 2015.
So it's not a title.
October 16, 2015. It is called Untitled Cold War Thriller, and I hope they keep that.
Rolls off the tongue.
Wouldn't it be great if you
and the Oscar goes to Untitled Cold War Thriller.
But that, I mean, you've got...
It's good pedigree.
That is good pedigree.
Based on true story, Tom Hanks would play James Donovan, who is a lawyer trust into the heart of the Cold War when the CIA sends him to Russia to be when the Gary, what's his name, the U-2 pilot gets shot down.
And Ray Powers?
Yeah, and so they have to go and get him.
As opposed to Larry Mullen, U-2. which makes more
I don't think anybody...
universe,
would anybody go rescue Larry Mullen?
No, you would not.
Adam Clayton would definitely go.
He would.
Yeah, although he wouldn't be much good in disguise. He's about him a mile off.
I'm
here. Or no, Bono would just walk in. So I'm Bono, please let him out. Because I said so.
One of the interesting things is that this is Spielberg working with Disney. And the reason being is that Spielberg's right-hand woman is now, Kathleen Kennedy, is now installed as head of LucasArts at Disney. So basically Disney, by doing that, managed to secure Spielberg into their... The House of Mouse.
Spielberg and Disney. Yes. That sounds like an injection of pure sugar into
why
the veins of
why
the
hasn't
audience.
Anybody asked Spielberg to make a superhero movie?
Isn't it an interesting question?
Like, if we're talking about all these films coming out, why hasn't somebody hit up Spielberg to sort of try something out? Or somebody off that ilk?
He has made a superhero. He's made three of them. It's just that his superhero was an archaeologist.
Yeah, okay. No.
A more traditional idea of a superhero.
Yeah.
I take the point on, but that's more of a serial adventure serial.
No, sorry, I said he made three and not four because the one didn't happen.
No.
You keep telling.
I'm sure, like the Last Stand.
The fridge exists.
It
happened.
Written out a history like the Last Stand has.
So a picture came out the other day from Jurassic World to show Chris Pratt beside a motorcycle, and I swear to God, he looked like Indiana Jones. If they're going to remake it, that's who they should get.
I could live with that.
So it's Chris Pratt standing next to a motorcycle in a tight T-shirt. I can see how that would appeal to certain people.
Me.
But, well done, Jay. But my question is this. Where is the dinosaurs?
Yeah, but Jurassic Park, you didn't see the dinosaurs for ages.
Yeah, but this is different. This is Jurassic World.
We don't need
We've gone beyond the park. We're in the world now.
We don't need... The excitement is out there anyway. We don't need to see the dinosaurs yet. This is a proper build-up. This is how you do it, not the...
But we'll see.
We'll see.
We go to
I things, bet
yeah,
sooner or later we'll get a huge freaking brachiosaurus all
will,
over the place.
It's not the mystery box that Abrams absolutely spectacularly dropped with Star Trek Into Darkness, although he did quite well with Star Trek. The teaser trailer for that was spectacular with the building of the Enterprise.
True that.
It can be done correctly.
We'll see if this one does.
So also Spielberg's BFG, which is very fitting seeing that he's working for Disney.
I could certainly live with that.
Is out on July 1st, 2016.
Fine.
So
I could live with that.
Yeah.
Spielberg rolled out.
Yeah. Seems like a nice connect. Mario, I like that.
So yeah, so if we get sick of the superhero movies and we're bound to due to the sheer amount of them, we have some...
I'm already sick of them. I think that's like 50 to come.
Yeah, we see. Yeah, because there's also two Spider-Men coming out in that time.
God,
three Spider-Men spin-offs, the sequel to X-Men, and the Fantastic Four film are coming out in that period of time as well.
It's going to end badly for someone. One of the studios is going to collapse in on itself.
And
the bloody Avatar as well.
Yeah, and Warner's is also bringing out the Harry Potter prequels.
Avatar. Three Avatar sequels.
Three!
Because the world needs four Avatars in it.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about the Avatar sequels is that Sigourney Weaver, whose character died in the first film, spoiler alert, is back for the sequels, and also the Colonel guy.
Stephen Lang,
who died in the first one.
Spoiler alert.
It's a film that made 2.1 billion.
And you can afford to cast new actors.
Sure.
Anyone told Cameron that there are other actresses in the world, Barcelona?
There are very few films currently or future productions that we want to see less than Avatar movies. I'll second that. I could not and do not care less.
Pandora's a very pretty place, but I'm not
sure. Yeah, so is Prague. I'll go to Prague instead of giving my money to Jim Carrey. Thank you.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
We shall.
Oh,
thank goodness. We shall leave the news behind and move on to
thank
the...
God.
Yes.
This is why I don't watch TV news anymore, because it's all bad. Keep going like this, Niall.
Spielberg's making the BFG. That's
good. That's one piece of good... That's like the little teaser.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I started off with
news of all the Irish films that are going to be shown at the Film Flat and news that there's going to be a new cartoon saloon.
Yeah, and then DC just vomited all over it.
So there was lots of good news in there.
There was.
That's not enough.
It's good news, bad news sandwich.
So, on to the Irish box office top 10.
Which would be full of superhero movies.
And at 10, Irish film.
And not superhero, crucially.
Jimmy's Hall. So, the Ken Loach story of Jimmy and his hall.
It's done quite well, hasn't it?
It's done all right.
It's done really well.
Surprisingly. I don't know why I'm surprised, but I'm surprised.
It's done over €200,000.
Yep.
Not too shabby.
Big drop this week, though.
I mean, everything's dropped.
But the weather was nice this weekend. Yeah. So,
And that's got to be to blame for all the drops this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Admittedly, it is gorgeous. We're inside. I wish we were outside.
We can move it outside if you want.
No, we're good. I'm comfy now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to my arm. At 9, in its first week of release, the strange story, The Devil's Knot.
This is an odd one.
Yeah, it's a West Memphis 3 story, but it's...
fictionalized. Not fictionalized, but it's given a narrative. This movie is almost dictionary definition of pointless, because... As far as the West Memphis 3 story goes, there are already 3 magnificent documentaries out there, the Paradise Lost trilogy, which have gone through this story from so many different angles. And yet, Atame Goyan comes along, figures that there is more to be got from this story.
There's another one as well.
Yes, West Memphis.
There is indeed, that is an excellent documentary as well.
I think the story has been exhausted.
It has. Those 4 movies, they cover this. Then along comes this. And it just continues Atame Goyan's losing streak. And in this one, he drags down Colin Firth with him, Reese Witherspoon as well. And it has not got good reviews. It was dumped mercilessly in cinemas this weekend with no fanfare after bad reviews in the States. And it's got got 14,500 euro.
It basically, it starts out telling the sort of, The story of what happened in the woods, and it has a nice sinister element to it, but then it just descends into courtroom drama. It's just pointless.
Yeah.
When the others exist, when the other films exist, it's just...
What is it bringing?
It's bringing nothing new. It's dull in those scenes.
For a story like that to be dull is borders on criminal, isn't it?
And this is the kind of thing that Goyan has done so well before. Look at The Sweet Hereafter.
The Sweet Hereafter is a magnificent film.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since The Sweet Hereafter, though, alas.
It's been a long time since he's actually made an out good film.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be. It's at least 10 years.
Okay, moving on. At 8, another new release. Belle, the period drama of a young girl who is... born illegitimate daughter of a English sea captain who dies and is taken in by her uncle. But the twist on the tale is that she's black and raised as aristocracy. She's also inherited the money of the father. So suitors come calling.
I thought it would do a bit better, to be honest.
It's got some surprisingly strong reviews, actually, from what I've been reading.
Polite but well made, apparently. I haven't seen it. But it's earned just over 15,000.
Only 11 cinemas, though. So it's got a good per location. It's got the third highest per location.
True, but still, I don't know. I suppose maybe if it were released maybe earlier in the year, or even later
Towards the end of the year, and you're talking...
Oscar potential.
Yeah, what they're attempting to do is counter-program, but...
It hasn't quite worked here.
Yeah, not in this particular instance.
No. At least not as well as, say, something like Jimmy's Hall.
Jimmy's Hall, but it has a very different demographic.
Yeah, well, it does, but at the same time, that was a counter-programming exercise as well to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah,
extent,
no,
that,
very much so.
One wouldn't imagine if there's drops for movies that are out there already because of good weather, new films being released with not a huge amount of advertising aren't going to do very well.
That's the
risk. One would imagine as well.
Yeah, and a small number of cinemas too.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It hasn't got that. I mean, that's a film that could have easily opened in 30 screens instead of the 11 that it did.
You would have thought so.
I don't think Fox tried hard enough with it.
No, perhaps not.
At 7 is one of the, possibly the worst comedy of the summer, A Million Ways to Die in the West, which is, because comedy does well
it's
taken a beating.
This week is down 71%.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest drops.
Look at that per location average, €368.
That's pretty much gone.
The last week of release type numbers.
Yeah.
Well, good riddance set.
Well, yes.
Try a new shtick.
But that said, it's going to earn €400,000 by the end of its run.
Yeah,
but it's not a lot for a film like that.
Not for a comedy.
It's $400,000 too much.
Well, that's a different argument, though.
Yeah, I just... didn't want it to do eh. I wanted it to flop on its face.
It hasn't
done great either, so... It
didn't make Ted money.
It certainly didn't. But that's because it's not as good as Ted.
Which is not very good.
I dang enjoyed Ted.
It's okay.
I've only seen it the once. I can't imagine it works.
I can't imagine ever rewatching it. Ever.
Okay. Anyway,
sorry, I'm done.
At six and non an anomaly in the charts because it's 4 weeks before its release.
Explain this to me.
It had a preview weekend this weekend.
4 weeks before its release.
4 weeks
before its release. Is this going to happen next week and the week after?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
It's because it came out in the US and so they.
This
they
is going to be big, isn't it? I mean,
this should be big. Because
I would have thought.
If the reviews are to be believed, How to Train Your Dragon 2, which is what's at 6, is as good as the original, and the original is amazing.
You're hoping for good business, but it opened in the US this weekend to good figures, but not quite as big as they were expecting.
Slightly up on the original, but behind at number 2 in the US, behind 22 Jump Street.
Word of mouth may well... keep it there. Plus, 22 Jump Street's making a fortune.
That's what happened with the original. Word of mouth kept it around for a long, long time, and it went on to do. At 5, the horror Oculus, which Jason reviewed last week.
Yep, and surprisingly went up half a star when I wrote it. It's one of those rare kind of. Boy, I like this a little more than I thought I did.
Mm.
Surprised myself. A fine 3-star, jumpy. Decently made horror. Yeah, it's doing nothing extraordinary, but doing what it's doing quite well.
It got half a star book.
Very good, Alan. Very good.
You're sick. We let you out.
Injured, not sick.
No, you can
well,
be sick.
Well, yeah, there's an argument for both.
At 4, and doing okay, but you know it's going to barely scrape $500,000. Is the Tom Cruise starring Edge of Tomorrow, which, I mean, this is a much better film than its box office is giving it credit for.
Yeah, it certainly is.
What were you expecting from this, though? I mean, what kind of numbers were... because it didn't seem particularly confident. It didn't feel X-Men or 22 Jump Street going to make a fortune.
No,
the expectation
was, presumably, that it was going to get a lot from the Tom Cruise factor.
Plus word of mouth and from reviews. One would have thought. I mean, it's the smallest drop on the week's thing, which may or may not mean anything.
Well, it's one of the better films in the.
Sure.
So it should have a small drop. The word of mouth should be good for this, and well, people, I know, have they tired of Tom Cruise?
My original argument on this was that people maybe just getting sick of Tom Cruise. But again, I'd ask the question: is €500,000? Which it'll probably get easy enough.
Oh, will, yeah.
And beyond. Is that a lot less than they were expecting? I wonder what their figures are in general. Because it seems internationally to be okay.
Yeah,
it seems okay. So, I mean, the Ireland market is not really... it's not going to live and die.
No,
But it's just interesting to say...
Yeah. It's doing quite well in Asia here.
Yeah, and you imagine it'll carry its way to profitability at some point.
Oh, yeah. Films like these can't fail to, really, with the odd exception. There's
it's not really bad.
The thing. If you spend $100 million, on marketing, you are going to get back that and your budget. You will, but being profitable is not is a little way off. But the problem is that Edge of Tomorrow had no tie-ins. So a lot of the times, so something like John Carter or Battleship, whatever, they had tie-ins. You know, McDonald's or whoever had signed up to promote something.
And what happened though? It's very reasonable.
Well, it's a tricky one. Can you imagine tying
in...
You can
sell burgers for anything. I mean, look, just stick a bloody little robot thing in a Happy Meal.
It came out the same day as something which was very, very marketable, and that was Maleficent.
Ah.
And so if you're a burger giant, you're going to go with Maleficent. You're going to go with the Disney property, not...
My thing therefore, though, is that wasn't Maleficent talked about as a potential flop not necessarily a flop, but this has exceeded expectations for that movie, say.
There was a number of films earmarked at the start of the year to be potential flops, and Godzilla was one.
Yeah,
which it obviously wasn't. No. And Maleficent, which isn't either. And A Million Ways to Die in the West, which is.
Yeah. Right.
A tree, and definitely not a flop. X-Men Days of Future Past, which is one of the top 10 grossing films of the year. In fact, it's one of the top 5 grossing films of the year.
Heading towards 2 million, one would imagine.
Yeah. Yep. It's looking good. Already at 1.75 million. Bravo all involved.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have granted that success.
Just back a truck up to Bryan Singer's house, really, if you want to keep this flagship going over the top.
Yep.
And an affidavit.
Once those allegations prove to be false...
I mean, the man has a sure touch of your partner.
If those allegations prove to be false, because if they prove to be true, then he can be jailed.
Well, sure, but I wonder where he'd go with this then. I mean...
Well, there are plenty of other directors out there,
Jay. No, we'll have to give him a
chance. Sure there are, but, like, I mean, he's done what the other directors haven't done since he's left the...
He's innocent until proven guilty, so they have to do that. They have to give
him a chance. Sure, absolutely.
Stand behind their man.
Yeah, but who would they get? This is what I'm trying to think of. And any studio worth their salt should be thinking the same thing.
Oh, I'm no doubt they are.
I'm sure they are.
Is Zack Snyder there?
I think he's a little busy.
Thank heavens.
Just preparing slow-mo shots as we speak.
Sorry. At 2, and previously mentioned, Maleficent. So,
over the 1 million euro mark, doing pretty well. By any reasonable standard.
Yeah, and it should get to the 1.3, 1.4 million mark.
Yes. That's
pretty good.
It is. It's not Alice in Wonderland money, but still, it is good.
Probably a better
Alice in Wonderland money is worth nothing.
It's not. Maybe in cash terms, yes. In anything, any other value, you know.
In artistic value, it's nothing. Absolute bogus.
If interested, read my Alice in Wonderland review. I had quite a go at it.
Didn't everyone?
Yeah, but as a fan of the novel, as a fan of Burton, I did that. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the film,
to say the least.
Yeah, I hated it. Absolutely hated it. 22 Jump Street is at number one.
Hey,
for the second consecutive week.
It's too sunny, and the World Cup's on.
Despite that, it's making nearly 4,000 at each of its 64 locations.
On its second impressive weekend! Yeah. That is great figures.
Yeah. I saw it twice, so...
Oh, well, it's your fault.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wow.
It's gonna make a lot.
I've read nothing but great reviews for it, so...
As long as you enjoyed the first one, you'll enjoy this. If you didn't enjoy the first one, then... It's because it's more of the same. It is the most meta comedy you will possibly see. It is so self-aware.
Okay.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. It's enjoyable to see just how self-aware it is. So that's,
I will get to see it at some point. I would hope.
Excellent. And so we move from the box office top 10 onto the new releases. And first up, and it's out on Thursday, is the young adult novel Weepy, The Fault in Our Stars. So Josh Boon directs. This is the guy whose only previous credit was Stuck in Love, which wasn't great.
That sounds like a Farley Brothers movie.
Stuck in Love.
Well, for speaking of Farley Brothers, it had Greg Kinnear in it. But
there we go.
or what was the name that Stuart Gordon and Stephen Ray stuck in a windshield? Stuck.
Yeah, no.
I'm not making that up.
Here's a triple bill.
Yeah. Stuck on You, Stuck in Love, and Stuck. Yeah.
No,
but anyway, it's...
That could come for a sticky.
Basically, Josh Boone was the director for Hire that didn't cost too much. The studio didn't put a lot of money into this particular thing. And then found out that they had an absolute stone-cold hit on their hands. And it's made a fortune in the US, and it will make a fortune here.
And proper profit as well, because as you said, it didn't cost a lot to make.
Yep.
It's going to make some serious money.
So Shailene Woodley stars alongside Ansel Elgort. The two of them previously had appeared together in Divergent. She is a terminal cancer patient, and as is he. They meet at a cancer support group fall in love and proceed to, to live out their relationship with the spectre of death looming over them. So
sounds like an inverse Fight Club. Didn't they meet a cancer support?
Yeah.
His name is Robert Paulson.
No, his name is Ansel Elgort.
This sounds dreadful. I know it's not really made for me. I understand that. Well, but it sounds like a movie of the week.
As these things go, it's actually got rather good reviews.
Yeah, well, yeah, a lot of that is down to the fact that Shailene Woodley is very, very watchable.
Yeah,
she's
really
watchable.
Her mother is played by Laura Dern.
I'm told.
Yeah. And Willem Dafoe.
I'm told.
Is there as well.
That's all you have to do for him.
Willem Dafoe and Laura Dern, come on!
I know.
It's a Wild at Heart reunion. Maybe Nicolas Cage is a cameo. Oh, God,
I'm not seeing this, but anyway. Yeah.
So, yeah, this will do a bomb. This is meant to be quite good, if a little ham-fisted due to the fact that the director is basically a hack. So, had Fox had the courage of their convictions, actually hired a decent director, this could be spectacular.
Maybe the sequel will be.
The one thing that this brings to mind for me in particular is the fact that The Spectacular Now, which was out last year, or should have been out last year, was made last year, didn't get a cinematic release, and that is a brilliant film.
I liked it.
Yeah. So, I hope that it gets released at some stage, or at least comes to DVD. Moving on.
Next, look at this. Can we move back?
Yeah, next out on the 20th on Friday, 3 Days to Kill from Mac G, based on a story by Luc Besson.
I'm going to call Mac G by his full name, Joseph McGinty Nichol, because he's a bad boy and he needs to be punished for this. Go to your room, Joseph McGinty Nichol.
And it stars Kevin Costner, Amber Heard, Hailee Steinfeld, and Connie Nielsen. They're the
pretty solid cast.
So Kevin Costner's ex-wife is Connie Nielsen's raising her daughter Haley in Paris. He gets assigned to a job.
It's there. Taken.
Yeah, basically, it's taken.
It's taken.
He is he's a government agent. Amber Heard.
3 days from his heart.
Amber Heard gives him a mission. He has 3 days to kill a number of high-profile targets.
It is taken.
In order to be given a drug that will save his life.
It's bloody taken. Oh, my goodness. This is... I mean, unoriginality is one thing, but
best on
stealing
you,
from yourself...
Stop doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is not a good film. I have watched this film. It is... I like Kevin Costner. I like to see Kevin Costner in a leading man role. I like to see him going running around in basically what is Ransom.
I want to see him do the bodyguard again.
There's a scene in this where he brings his daughter out of a room that is very bodyguard-esque, except it doesn't have music. Amber Heard is just there to be something pretty to look at. She has no depth in her character whatsoever. Connie Nielsen is good.
Connie Nielsen's always
as the
mother. I said that since Gladiator.
Hailee Steinfeld is good as well, and Kevin Costner is fine, but the script is appalling, the direction is appalling. It's just not a good film.
So hackneyed.
Yeah.
Really
this is the kind of thing that you may watch if you're on an airplane and it's the only thing.
Sounds the kind of thing I would watch on a Friday night after a six pack of beer on Netflix.
Yeah, well,
because I don't want to concentrate anything.
This
that I have to think about.
I equate this to the whole Olympus Has Fallen thing from last year. You know the way that you turn it on and then you leave it on because you couldn't be bothered turning it over.
And you just let them.
It's miles
online.
Olympus Has Fallen had Morgan Freeman and a couple of decent action scenes to compensate for the rest.
Well, this has got one or two. I mean, there's a nice action scene here to start, but there's the.
What a pity!
Just
the rest of the film to go through.
There's just not enough in it.
Luc Besson needs to stop being a production editor.
Really does, because the man has look at Leon,
a bit of a talent and a bit of annoyance.
He had a clear talent for character when you look at Leon,
yeah.
And his visual imagination is there for all to see.
Sure,
talent.
Yeah.
Where's that Luc Besson? Even if he's not coherent, at least he's
fun. It's his film Subway with Chris Van Amber a long time ago.
Yes,
that was very enjoyable. I remember seeing that a long time ago. Really like it.
Oh, he was a thing.
I do indeed. I'm showing my age tragically, but I do remember it very, very well.
But the Luc Besson of those days is sadly gone.
Mm.
So also out is The Art of the Steal, which we talked about previously when we were talking about Sony Slate.
Oh yeah,
Kurt Russell stars as Crunch Calhoun, the greatest name.
I
need to watch this.
I'm almost sold on that alone.
I remember this conversation now.
Crunch Calhoun.
I'm in.
A third-rate motorcycle daredevil and part-time art team.
And part-time serial mascot by the sounds of it.
It's got Jay Baruchel.
Oh,
Matt Dillon as his brother, as Kurt Russell's brother,
Terrence Stamp.
And Terrence Stamp.
Oh, it almost sounds good.
But for a half a minute, you can dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be crap, but it could be good crap. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Might have all else failed to go and just rewatch the thing.
Then we have Camille Claudel, 1915, which is a more arty film. Philip, you've seen this?
I have, and as bad as The Art of the Steal or 3 Days to Kill might be, I can guarantee you it will be a bit more fun. Right. This is a very well-made film with an astonishing performance by Juliette Binoche, but I just warn you, it's a downer.
It's set during the First World War in France. What could possibly be? How could that be a downer?
And not only that, but it's the true story of the sculptor Camille Claudel, who was put into a mental hospital in that year by her brother after the breakdown of her relationship with Auguste Rodin. And it's at that early stage in her hospitalization when she's still rallying against us and suffering from extreme paranoia. It's
French One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest set in the First World War.
Let me ask you, though, is it good?
Yes, it is.
This kind of misery sounds right up my street.
It doesn't, it, though.
Doesn't it? It really does.
I'm
in.
It's a marvellous performance, as always, by Juliette Binoche, it completely makes up for how much it was wasted in Godzilla. I'll never forgive that film for that.
And many other things. Anyway.
Yes, indeed. But she's magnificent. She's completely nails the anguish of Claudel. And even allows her a few moments of joy. Just whenever she's flashed that smile, it rarely happens. When it does, she lights up the screen. And Dumont is a marvelous director. It's unusual to see him working with such a big star.
Yeah.
But she completely anchors the movie. It's heavy, but it's well worth it.
This sounds good.
It is. But I do have to give you that caveat. It's not a happy bombing.
I eat miserable films for breakfast.
I know.
If you're after something a bit more upbeat, Jersey Boys is out on Friday, which is Clint Eastwood directing the musical based on Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons and the stage play of the same name, Jersey Boys.
Whenever anybody brings this up, I just think of that moment in The Simpsons when they parodied Paint Your Wagon. Gonna paint that wagon, gonna paint it good, and so forth. This is the adaptation of the musical adaptation of the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Yes.
And this was just reviewed for us by the latest addition to our writing
team.
Latest. Mr. Roland Doyle.
Wickedly talented.
He is wickedly talented.
I will say, though, not to give him too big a head, he's a genuine, genuine, huge fan of Clint Eastwood. I would generally knock off half a star to a star of his ratings for the Clint Eastwood film. Ronan, you know what I mean.
That 6-star review for Unforgiven, isn't it?
Yes, it's just crazy.
As great as Unforgiven is. he liked Jersey Boys. The reviews have been mixed so far. The basic summary seems to be that it's a stagey adaptation of a stage musical with a few Eastwood traits thrown in for good measure.
It has
Christopher Walken in it, indeed. But apparently, he only dances once.
Ah,
what a waste!
What indeed? The rest of the time he's walking.
Oh, go to bed.
He's still here. Let's break his arm.
Oh,
sorry, we went there.
Dreadful.
Yeah, sorry.
No.
Well, that's plenty to chew over in the cinema next week.
Indeed.
From this Friday, so we'll leave it there. So
go forth and multiply people.
Just not in the cinemas. I've actually been to a cinema before where somebody got kicked out for that.
Yeah,
I was young. I needed the money.
That was you?
Oh yeah. we'll skip that.
On that wonderful note.
On that bombshell.
We shall leave it there. Adieu.
Indeed. See you.